Crouch. Bind. Set.
Joe presents the House of Rugby.
Welcome to the House of Rugby, brought to you by Joe. As always, I'm joined by my very good friend, the big goose himself, Sean O'Brien.
Pacific goose.
How was your weekend, mate?
It was good. It wasn't too bad. I wasn't playing, so I had a lot of time to chill out at home.
Are you retired? Or a lot of questions have come in and asked.
I'm not retired, no.
Okay.
Goody, you were captain for the big clash against Quins this weekend. How did you get on? Big dog?
Yeah, well, it was a good win for the boys. Obviously, tough team, Quins. Happy to come away with a win and a great comeback from the lads.
Any big motivation speeches beforehand?
Absolutely none. Basically, took full Imodium and was in the toilet for the whole half-time and pre-match. So I was useless as a captain.
What a sight to see, I'd say that was.
Yeah. You know, what can I say? Got through the game, though, so that's all that matters. And two pairs of undershorts. So
didn't do much, mind you.
There we are. No, I didn't do much, but luckily we had the wizardry skills of Alex Lalowski and the boys turned up. So
he is playing very well at the moment.
He is. He's doing extremely well. But enough about us. What about you? And any half-time speeches you've had or any, you know, world-class motivators? You've been around the block, played a few clubs now.
Half-time speeches. Actually, the one that stands out to me is was during the Under-21 World Cup. And Niall O'Shea was our manager. And he's quite an emotional character, but he was just the manager of the team. He wasn't like a coach or anything. But he put down an Irish jersey in the middle of the change room and started basically shouting and roaring, saying that he was from Shannon, which was a club at home, which was a really good AA club, very tough people in it. But he just went on a tangent about Shannon and how they used to play with broken legs and stuff years ago, and that's the way we should have been. And, you know, we weren't doing the jersey justice, but completely, like, lost these marbles altogether. And when everyone's looking around the change room going, what is this lunatic on about here? Talking about a club side at halftime during an Irish international. So that's probably one of the worst ones I've ever heard. And when I meet up with some of the boys that played on that team, it's the first thing we talk about.
Did you play well? Did you get a result?
No. No, we didn't. And I think it was actually someone who had been injured. I think that was his jersey that he laid down on the floor at halftime. So, you know, it was one of those cringe moments that... I won't forget it for a long time anyway.
No, I can't compete with that. But moving on, Autumn Internationals, there was a couple at the weekend. Scotland winning 60 points to 14 against Tonga. What did you make of that game?
Yeah, it was always going to be... I actually thought Tonga put up probably a better fight, but Scotland team, I suppose, they're adding all the time to their game. Played some nice rugby again at the weekend. You know, and they're in that, they're still developing their whole ethos there, I think. So they're only going to get better, but the result was never in doubt, I suppose. But I did think that Tonga would give probably a better account of themselves and cause them another few problems, but didn't show too much at the weekend.
I think it's tough, didn't have much preparation time. I was impressed with Scotland in terms of they had Blair Kinghorn at 10, who's not played 10 much at all. Missing some of their key players, but they still, you know, looked dangerous. Obviously, Carl Steyn, first Scottish man to score 4 tries since, I think, Gavin Hastings. So that was impressive from them.
They're dangerous. They have dangerous people on the field, Scotland. And when they get their tails up, they're gonna cause teams a lot of problems.
And the other game, the All Blacks versus Wales. Tough loss for Wales. You predicted it'd be a tight game, 2 points.
Yeah.
Without trying to sound too smug, I did say the last 20 minutes New Zealand would run away from it. 54 points to 16. Tough there. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I suppose the one thing you can't do against New Zealand is give them an early lead. And got that intercept. Tails are up then straight away. Wales are on the back foot. Lost Alan Wynne, obviously. That shoulder looks like it's done and dusted this time.
Your medical opinion, you think he needs...
Medical opinion, yeah. I'd say he needs an op at this stage. I think that's the third time he's ever doing that in the last couple of years. Just one of those things. But New Zealand, I thought, were class in a lot of areas because Wales did put a bit of pressure on him at times and tried to turn the screw, but they just have class everywhere. Will Jordan, I thought, was unbelievable. Barrett was unbelievable.
Would you have given him a yellow card for the deliberate knockdown?
Probably, it actually probably was. If it was anyone else, yes, they probably would have gotten the yellow card, which is funny, like.
My take on it was, I don't think it is a yellow card, because the whole point of yellow card is it has to be in the act of scoring or a line break opportunity, something like that. And there was definitely a player right in there about to make a tackle, no question about that. But I think the way it's been refereed over the last 3 years, 4 years, is pretty much any deliberate knockdown has been a yellow card. Mm. And that's in the Premiership, international rugby. And So therefore, consistency, you go, well, it's a yellow card.
Yeah.
But I think if they continue to go down this route where actually, unless there's a try-scoring opportunity, then it will be a yellow card. Otherwise, no, it's just a penalty. Then I'm happy with that. But in this case,
they need to make up their mind, though.
Exactly. And I feel for the Welsh, that's unfortunate because every other game you've seen in the last couple of years, it would have been a yellow card. But let's talk about the positives, though, for New Zealand. Beauden Barrett, 100th cap. It's an amazing milestone. It feels like he's only 26, but I think he's 29, 30. But, wow, and two tries to boot, another two intercepts. He was class all day.
He's an unbelievable player. He really is. And think about the way he plays the game as well. Like, he could go forever. Like, I think he could be, involved in New Zealand rugby. What is he? 20, he's 29.
Do you think he could be like Tom Brady, get to 45?
I think he could get a long way, because he doesn't take too much hardship on the field. Doesn't get in trouble too many times.
You're that quick,
When you're that quick, you should take a leaf of his book.
I try. I'm evasive. Quite the speed.
But he's going to be around for many, many more years, obviously, if he stays fit and healthy and minds himself. And he's just one of these players. When he's in the team, I think they have so much more confidence. And he can create, magic moments in games, and that pace is electrifying. So an unbelievable day for him and his family as well. Nice to have his brother there with him.
Yeah, he did say back at home that he thought the family had a big keg of Guinness and some food on the barbie, and he thought that's quite a nice way to celebrate for the family if you can't be at the stadium.
Yeah, no, 100%.
You're going to be Irish quality Guinness?
Surely not. But Irish connections that they have from years ago. That's actually true.
Did you try and steal him as a player?
Oh,
that's one that got the slip net.
We should have.
The whole family.
Yeah.
Well, last week, me and Shawnee did our predictions for the two games. Both got 2 points because we both got the games correct. Bit difference in the points, though, hey, Shawnee? I was a bit closer.
Yeah, you were a bit closer, definitely, yeah.
Do you think we should get to the point now where whoever gets closest so he gets an extra point?
No.
It might just be too easy. What if it's just we keep picking the same teams?
Well, then we end up on the same points.
I just feel like you're not putting enough time and effort into your research.
Well, we'll see who's closer this week.
Okay, fine.
And then we'll make a decision on it.
And what is the forfeit? Have we established it?
Steak, wasn't it?
Is it dinner?
Steak dinner, yeah.
I think people want us to get into fancy dress or you to do a naked lap, but I'm quite happy with a steak dinner.
I'm quite happy with either.
Why? You love nakedness. Let's be honest.
Naked steak dinner.
I mean, what? That means we're at each other's house naked. It gets weirder. Honestly.
You were in Japan, you were going around the change room.
That was like every day.
Exactly. So what's the difference?
We're not having steak dinners and I haven't got you singing to your dogs. I just think that's a weird setup. I'm at your house. We're both naked. You're cooking.
Hold on now.
And the dogs are singing with you.
I didn't say we're going to my house.
Well, fine. Earlier in the week, Sean and I caught up with the Australian legend, David Pocock, about life in Zimbabwe, herding elephants, and how he got into rugby.
It's great to chat to you, David. How's life? How are you? You're back in Zimbabwe at the minute.
Yeah, going all right, thanks. It's great to see you guys. It's been a very long time, so looking forward to chatting and catching up.
What's it been like since you've finished rugby, retirement? We know you're a busy man. I follow you on social media. You still do a lot of training. You're still in phenomenal shape, which kind of makes me a bit jealous, because still playing professional rugby, I'm not in that shape. How do you keep busy during the days?
Isn't easy. I guess it's one of those things when you're playing, you know it's coming at some point. Everyone knows that you're going to have to do something else. And I had a lot of interest outside of rugby, and it kind of got to the point where I felt like, it's time to launch out and do other things. But it's still a challenge to go from, having such a structured day, a structured week, a structured year where you kind of know where you're going to be, what you need to do, to then, just having to run your own life.
Is it nice to get back to where it all started for you on the farm?
The other night we spent an hour and a half trying to chase a herd of elephants out of the citrus orchards here, which was, a bit of a mission. We ended up using like a potato cannon. I don't know if you know how they work. You kind of fill it with hairspray, press the button, massive boom and a flash, and that kind of got them moving. They went the wrong way initially and ended up like literally like 20 meters from the house. We've got this herd of 20 elephants. So we had to, you know, go behind them and then try and chase them out. Eventually got them out. You know, I guess doing those sorts of things, it is something that I've really enjoyed reconnecting with. But the area we're in at the moment, there's a huge population of elephants, and they kind of go wherever they want. And at the moment, it's really dry. We've got really green orange trees on the farm. An electric fence to them is at times just a little obstacle that they push over. So it's a constant battle with keeping the elephant out.
It's probably like one of my tackles, Shawnee, electric fence. But
you're more of a speed bump guy than you are.
Oh, that's probably better than electric fence. That's a compliment, I think. What exactly are you trying to do at the moment with this project? Because obviously you had the 80-20 vision previously. Mm-hmm. What exactly is this project at the moment?
So it's a totally different project, but I guess we're building on a lot of the learnings from that, and we're working with communities. We're right in the south of Zimbabwe, in an area that still has reasonable wildlife populations, but local communities really don't benefit from living alongside wildlife. I mean, you can imagine the cost of living alongside elephants if you don't have an electric fence, or living alongside lion and hyena, where they're coming in and eating your goats, sheep, and cattle. You know, you're putting in 100 kilometers of fencing to try and keep elephants out of communal areas, all the anti-poaching that needs to go into it. And so on the team, I guess that's my job now, is to actually go out and try and get people interested in this, because we think it's a great project, and it's ticking all these boxes around climate, reversing land degradation, protecting wildlife, all these sorts of things. So, you know, we think it's a great project, and hopefully there's money out there for it.
Well, if you need a hand with fencing, I'm your man. My brother-in-law is a fencing contractor, so
of course he is, Sean. I mean, I don't want to do the stereotype, but you know, Sean's Irish. He does tarmacking, fencing, brickwork. You know, he's always got a brother, a cousin, a mate, something. You know,
yeah, we'd love to have you out here. There's plenty to do, so we can put you to work.
Great. I'd enjoy that.
I'd love to see Sean out there. He'd be in his element.
The move, the transition from the farm to Oz. And then how you developed your career. What was that like for you?
Yeah, it was a really big move for my family. I was 14 when we left Zimbabwe, and growing up I'd never really thought about leaving the country. Loved it. Wanted to one day play for the Springboks, and then Zimbabwe started what they called a land reform program, where they were basically taking farms away from white farmers and also black farmers that didn't really support the government, and sort of redistributing them to war veterans who'd fought in the liberation struggle through the 70s. And so our farm was taken, and yeah, I guess it's a traumatic experience having the place that you've grown up on and love taken away, not compensated at all, and essentially having to start again. Yeah, was so grateful for the opportunity in Australia. And arrived there just, you know, as a teenager, just so motivated to try and make the most of it.
I was 17. I played against you. You came over with the Wallabies under 18s, a schoolboys team, and I was in the England setup.
Yeah.
And you absolutely demolished us. I think you, Curtly Bill, Quade Cooper, took the piss out of us a bit. But it was one of those sort of quite early days of rugby where you all then got in like the baths and the showers afterwards all together. And honestly, I reckon our whole team were just staring at you, just going, oh my God, he's made of triangles. He just had muscle everywhere. And I hadn't even picked up a weight at this stage as a 17-year-old. And I thought, blimey, I am in for a shock if I want to be a rugby player, because this guy here, David Poco as it was, is made of muscle, and he's just bullied us all today.
I remember that game actually. That Curtly and Quade were just, something clicked and they were on fire. They were doing like consecutive chip and chases and all sorts of ridiculous stuff.
It was like a schoolboys, except that you were like men at that stage. And in the fact that they were just like passing 1, 2, 3 back to each other the whole way up the field.
Yeah.
We were just like computer game, getting nowhere near them. And then as soon as we did have the ball, you would just take it like one-handed
officer.
Nah, come on. Yeah.
But was that the same tour that when, because obviously we saw on social media you and Conor Murray staying with him. Was that the same tour or was that a different one where you stayed?
Yeah, that was the same tour. We had a midweek game against Munster and got billeted out and I was with the Murrays. Conor was obviously a few years younger, but a pretty cool story.
Yeah, it is a good one to have. They're such good people, the Murrays too. They're good crack. They're nice.
They really are. I actually I didn't play that midweek game, and so on the way, you know, Mr. Murray picked us up and was driving us home. I think I was feeling a bit guilty for, you know, not having played or wanted to do some extra fitness, and I said, you know, do you mind just dropping me, I don't know, 5Ks from home, which he did. And in hindsight, like, you know, I'd only been there once. I had no idea where I was going. I don't know how I thought I was going to get to their house, and just got horrendously lost. And eventually it got dark. You know, I'd been chased by an Alsatian. I was beat. I was like, this is done. You know, this is before everyone had a mobile phone. And so I just walked into a random person's house and said, listen, I'm terribly lost. I'm staying with the Murrays. I don't know where they are. And luckily she actually knew them. Gave them a call and he popped around, picked me up, and it all ended all right.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll hear more from him later on. Shawnee, has there ever been a better exponent of the breakdown? Just pure breakdown work than David Pocock?
No, I think he's
apart from yourself, obviously. You know.
Well, I was just going to say, but no, you're right. Apart from me, no. He's incredible. So fast over the ball, so strong, schooled every back rower going in terms of how to poach. I remember watching some games and doing some analysis, like on even some of the breakdowns he won. Like there's 2-3 people hitting him and he's not moving. He was a master at it, and he's kind of paved the way for a lot of other people on how to poach. But he was also freakishly, you know, mobile, strong. He was big, so he had the body for it too. But he was the best in the world by far at taking ball.
Time for some rugby news now. England women beat the All Blacks 43-12 in Exeter this weekend. Shawnee, looking very good for the English women at the moment. World Cup in a year's time, number one ranked team.
Yeah, they're very strong. Watch the highlights of it. Their set piece is incredible. Their line-out was unbelievable at the weekend. Just in, nice and crisp. They're very hard to stop, but I think they're very well drilled. And these England girls have been together a while now. I suppose the Prem competition has grown a lot over the past few years. I've went and watched a few games because some of the Irish girls are playing with Wasps. And I think it's starting to pay off now for the national team. They've some very, you know, they've incredible athletes, the speed, they're big in the pack. They look like the total package at the minute, and it was a complete dominance of the All Blacks, which obviously bodes well for them, but it's scary to think that they could get better because they haven't played rugby in a long time either.
Well, the England men's team have been preparing in Jersey for the prospect of Tonga this week, and they have been busy doing some team bonding exercises, Shawnee. They've been paddle boarding. What are your thoughts on team bonding?
I think
compulsory fun. Is it necessary?
I don't know if it's necessary, but I think, you know, when you go to a place like, go away from your normal environment, for instance, of Pennyhill Park or wherever they train over here, it's nice, and there is that feel good factor. Jersey's a lovely place. My brother lives there, and his wife and kids. So it's a great spot. They've great facilities, obviously, with the new facility they built over there in Strive. So it's a class place to go. So I think there's a feel good factor there anywhere within the camp, and it's something leading into these big games. It's very important to gel quickly and to get amongst each other. So I'm sure they'll have beers over there.
Is paddleboarding something that you would find fun, swimming out in the channel?
Would in that group environment like that, to be fair, because you'd be
a bit naked, which is your favourite.
You'd be throwing each other off and having a bit of crack with each other. So It wouldn't be my go-to now, mind you, because not this time of year anyway. It's getting pretty cold out there at the minute.
Yeah, what would be your...
Go-karting is actually, I am unbelievable at go-karting.
Yeah, really? Yeah. It'd be, you're really hindered by your
wife. No, you say
this.
That's
not a nasty thing, my friend, you are dense.
No, my friend at home, who is a rally driver, honestly...
His name's Tyrone.
His name is Colin, actually. Colin O'Toole. I've beaten him a few times now, and he can't get over it, because he says he's light, like, he's tiny, he's like you. Yeah. But... he can't get over the fact that I'm actually quick in the car compared to him.
I can imagine being ruthless. Like, you get to a corner and you just ram into the side of
100%.
Someone. Like, not,
take
yeah.
everyone out, and then you win.
I wouldn't feel safe. Go. I nearly said, I'll bet you, I'll beat you. And I thought, you know what? I don't want to have the carnage of you like going over the top and hitting me in the side of the head or something with a go-kart. It just wouldn't be worth it. I'd let you win.
I don't want it as much as you.
In
all seriousness, though, I do enjoy go-karting. I love driving.
Okay, but, okay, so that's your favourite, but... You've been part of the Lions, yeah. Right? Is there anything better than just meeting up and having some beers?
No. I agree.
I know that's like not the scientific thing to say, but I personally don't think there is anything better than you just lock into a pub, yeah. all of you together,
yeah.
and
get
you
into
just
the
get
one
to
area
know people.
And you just get to know people. Yeah,
yeah. You don't want distractions, you don't want other people, it's just you and the group all
that's,
together.
That's the best crack, and if you could get some music involved later on tonight, you know, that
some music.
Yeah. Like either like getting lads on a bit of karaoke, for instance, later on.
Karaoke is good. As long as it's like half decent. It's yeah. not amateur hour.
Yeah, yeah, but you have some lads hogging the microphone then.
Like yourself.
I would, but I'd pick and choose the songs.
Okay, so apart from yourself again, who is the best you've heard sing?
Shane Williams is a good singer.
Is he?
Yeah.
A good entertainer.
Yeah, he's good fun on nights out.
Is he?
Mm.
I've got to say Andy Farrell's not bad.
Yeah, Andy Farrell's actually very
good. He's all right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is actually pretty good.
Who else have I thought of now?
Kelly Brown.
Excellent singer.
Is very good.
Excellent,
I mean,
singer.
Like, not even a tiny bit reluctant. Like, he just goes, Kelly, sing, like, middle of the day, nothing, no drinks. And he goes, no, Kelly, sing. Oh, okay then, I'll sing for you, yeah.
But that's half the crack as well, people singing and messing and...
Another good one, Matt Stevens.
Matt Stevens
loves,
very good,
but you can't get the mic off him.
Yeah, he's very bad at hogging stuff.
Yeah, he's naturally a big man. He takes everything, you know, greedy and all that. But
South African.
Yeah, South African. to be fair, in Japan, a lot of karaoke, but at that stage, the boys were passed out at that point because the parties or the not even parties, the bonding sessions were go sit in a room, get drunk. Get naked, try and sing. And that was pretty much part of the course.
You're telling me that I want...
I didn't say I was part of that. Well, that was like every day, though, in the onsen. Get naked.
Anyway.
You know, yeah. Well, yeah. Enough about that. 4G pitches. Jack Noel's come out this week and shown some of his grazes, saying he's going to have to wear plasters and Vaseline for the rest of the year. What's your take on 4G pitches? There's a few people who are very against it.
I agree they should be gotten rid of, yeah. I seen some of our own boys, Albert and Curtis Rowan, a few weeks ago. They're not just scrapes either, they're not. They're like proper burns, and some of them are quite deep, and but they're there all the time. Because you're training every day, they don't get a chance to heal. So I just think they need to be gotten rid of now at this stage. There's too many people like getting proper cuts, infections, all this stuff, like bits and pieces. And to have something like that, literally when you're playing rugby, like we are at the minute, week in, week out, it's not good. It's just another added burden to the life of a professional player. Like you shouldn't have to mind, you know, cover your legs after every training session, or, you know, have bandages on during the day. We do enough at the weekends, you know what I mean? So that would be one less thing for people to worry about if those pitches were gotten rid of.
And
they're great for training in bad weather. I'll admit that. You know, if that's the way the game goes, that's the way the game goes. But rugby's changing so much all the time anyway, so we need to stop somewhere with it and just get back to the old way sometimes. And I definitely want to see them gotten rid of anyway, personally. But... you know, the powers to be hopefully will do something about it. So maybe there needs to be a standard brought in by the RFU and the governing bodies to say, no, this is the type of pitch we need, and this is how good it has to be for you to have this. And maybe that'd solve a lot of problems. So they have to spend the money on having a really, really decent pitch. That's up to a certain standard.
So it's the next round of the Autumn Internationals this weekend. Shawnee, Ireland first. Ireland, Japan. Where do you think Ireland are going to be? First game for them. Japan are coming off a game against Australia, a bit more prepared.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. I'm really looking forward to and excited about the Irish team and what they're going to be, because the last time we seen them play, they, you know, moved England around. They were starting to evolve this game that they're trying to play, which is a little bit more expansive. So hopefully now, having been in camp for 2 weeks, they can set some of the fundamentals of their game in place and really go out and enjoy themselves against Japan. And then on the flip side of that, Japan will have a game under their belt. They know their system inside out. They love firing the ball around. They love playing kind of a quick game. So Ireland defensively will have to be very sharp, but I can't wait to see them in attack and see what they're able to bring against this Japanese side.
And I know it's a debate that's been raging for so long, but Johnny Sexton, 100th cap, you know, how important is he to the Irish team?
He's still one of the most important players. There's no one, I don't believe there's anyone there at the minute that's really challenging him, or maybe not challenging him, but to get to the level and be able to play the game like he is. And I know, like, everyone's different. You can't be exactly like a certain player, but he is you know, a massive cog in that wheel still. Someone who everyone respects, and you know, he'll to get to this level that he's gotten to, and to get to 100 caps has been incredible, especially with the way he does play the game. Like, he is combative, he throws himself about, he takes a lot of hardship. So it's going to be a phenomenal day for him. You know, I'm really excited for him, and he'll really want this Irish team to do really well in this November series as well, leading into Six Nations.
And England playing Tonga, obviously people will expect a win for England, but a lot of debate about Smith and Farrell playing together, but also a lot of new players in the pack. Who are you looking forward to seeing, or is it going to be a new dawn for England, how they play, do you think?
I don't think it's going to be a new dawn for them, but I think if you have Marcus Smith and Farrell there, you're definitely broadening your horizons a little bit. I think it's exciting to see someone like that, you know, get a chance to start. Hopefully he does, obviously. We don't know yet. But, and then to have someone with Farrell's experience just outside him, maybe they will fire the ball around a lot more this time round, and less of a kicking game. But I think against Tonga, definitely, I think England will just have a right crack from everywhere. So it's exciting for them. A few new players in the pack too, depending on who plays. But younger England side, which Eddie obviously is looking ahead a little bit to the World Cup. So exciting for them too. But I think it's going to be a big scoreline at the weekend.
Yeah, look, I think for me, it's not so much the Smith foul thing. It's more the speed they're going to have out wide. It looks like at the moment, sadly, Anthony Watson's out. So are they going to go Johnny May, Radwan Malins? Are they going to go Malins, Johnny May? Who's going to play on the wings? You know, Stuart, fullback. Yeah. I think with that in mind, you have to get the ball to the space. But first, you have to dent the line. Tuilagi is so important there. But then after that, they want to get it to the speed. So that'll be really interesting. But moving on to Wales, South Africa. Obviously, Wales had a tough result last week, but they can bring in a few players, which would be really important for them. How do you see that going?
Yeah, they'll be definitely stronger this week. But I still see it being an unbelievable test game. I think Wales might actually sneak it this week. And South Africa will be, I suppose, they've been together a lot. They've, you know, played a lot of test rugby in the last while. But I still think with Wales, with the experience that's coming back in, with Bigger, you know, and a few other boys, it's they'll want to put it right as well, and they're at home again in the Principality. It was absolutely rocking last week. So I can see Wales winning, just barely now, barely sneaking it, but it'll be a cracker.
Yeah, I think, you know, the home crowd will be massive for them. Obviously, Bigger's big for them. I think I would have gone with them if Alan Wynne had been playing, but I think his loss, along with the likes of Tipperick, and so I just think it just Be big if Ken Owens is playing, but I do worry for him in that sense. I just think South Africa, they know what they're about. They know how they're going to play. They've played a lot of rugby. They're prepared. And they started to pick up their form towards the back end of the Rugby Championship.
They did, but I still think Wales created opportunities last weekend when they moved the ball and got into their bit of flow. And the Trontu intercepts, Grant, lost a few balls inside important areas of the game, inside the 22. Like, if they can negate a few small areas and clear up those little small, indecisive things last week, they're going to be threatening this Springbok team. That's why I'm saying Wales. I think Wales will put a few wrongs right this week, and tidy up their game a little bit. Their first game back in a while. So they'll be a little bit better this week, I think, and with that experience coming back in. So I see them moving South Africa around now this week and cause them a few problems.
Scotland versus Australia as well. Australia missing, obviously, Craig Cooper, Karevi, Sean McMahon. Karevi and Cooper, big players for them. McMahon's come in late, but important in terms of his leadership. How do you see... Do you think Scotland will just build and with their players coming back in will go from strength to strength after having been on the Lions trip?
Yeah, I do. I think, Scotland again will be in a better place this week after last week. More time together, a few more combinations coming back. And Australia again, two of their key players that have been, a fulcrum of their success over the last four games, missing from that team. So I think Scotland will be gunning for this one and try and take that that scalp of one of the big three.
I think the big one there is Karevi for me. His ability when you're in Northern Hemisphere wet to get over the gain line is huge. I think James O'Connor will probably come in at 10 potentially. But I think the big loss is Karevi for me. His ability to get over the game line. He's so dangerous.
Yeah. He's been massive for them.
He hasn't started all the games, but every time he comes on,
he's a handful. He's
just devastating to deal with. Well, time now for part two with our chat with David Pocock.
Talking about your career, it was phenomenal. And I don't joke about how you destroyed games for me as a fly half when I was younger, single-handedly. But as you took international rugby by storm and everything, just around that sort of 2015 World Cup in England, where you were so devastating and adapted to playing sort of number eight and everything. Did you have a chance to really enjoy that World Cup? And when you were playing, did you really enjoy the experience of playing and being so good? Or was it just, every day was just back to training, back to focus on the game, and just week in, week out?
No, I really did enjoy the 2015 World Cup. 2013, 2014, I played, I think, five games of rugby. I had back-to-back ACL knee reconstructions. And 2015 managed to kind of regain some form and was just really enjoying it. And I think we had a really good squad with some older heads, like, Matt Giddo, Adam Ashley-Cooper. Able to actually bring that balance where you obviously have to train hard, put in the work, but then you can enjoy yourself off the field. I think things came together in some key games. It's still probably the most disappointing I've ever been, losing that final. But, that's how it goes in rugby.
The most important thing is the new show.
Yeah.
Let's talk a bit about this. So it's called Playing Against the Clock, which will air on BT Sport, if I'm correct. Just tell everyone what it's all about exactly.
So it's a new show looking at sport and the climate crisis. We're obviously at the point where we all have to be part of the solution. And I really love the way they've put the show together, where they kind of give you a overview of where we're at, just how important it is that we're acting, but then really show what we can do and that it's not too late to act, and that sport can actually play and has to play a big part in not only facing up to how we're contributing to climate change, but also being part of the messaging and bringing people along for the journey. I think this is something that every person needs to be part of if we want a future for ourselves and for our kids and their kids.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating, and I think you're so right. It's using the profile of rugby clubs, players, be able to get engaged with the community, so that whether it's just your stadium, as you said, or your whole club, just have a push to, you know, improve, you know, how you, you know, use your waste, or how you, you know, recycle better, or, you know, whatever you do, get the whole club moving in the same direction. It's so powerful, because it may not change politics there and then, but suddenly one club, and you get a couple of clubs, and you get the local community, and then it really grabs more and more people, because, as you said, it's those decisions you make day in, day out that are so important. And if you get, you know, 10, 100, 1,000, million people changing, then, you know, it's doing its job in a sense.
And so I think the thing we have to be saying is, yes, like we live in a society that has been based on using fossil fuels, and we're all part of the problem. So we all need to be part of the solution.
Lucas, I think that's all we have time for tonight. But we wish you very well with future endeavours, and thanks a million for joining us.
David, great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a million.
Wish you all the best.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks, Alex. Cheers.
Shawnee, David Pocock, brilliant player, and the work he's doing is just this phenomenal at the moment.
Yeah, so I suppose it's something that you've seen, well, from just following him on social media throughout his career. It's something he's always been into. It's something he's very passionate about, obviously, and you know, he's trying to do his bit, I think, for you know, the world, and get us to try and follow his lead. So very passionate about it, him and his missus. This new show is quite going to be quite interesting.
Yeah, and you can catch his new show, Playing Against the Clock, on BT Sport. Shawnee, my favourite time of the week. It's good week, bad week. We have seen Jamie Streak of Kings Clare RFC was prevented from scoring a try by Ben Atkins of Ventnor, who injured himself during the tackle. It was a great tackle, and he went to hospital, unfortunately, with a rib injury. 2 days later, a bottle of port arrived at Ben's hospital bed with a message: "To Ben, sorry about the ribs. Hope you get well soon. If it makes you feel any better, it was a heck of a tackle at least. From Jamie, the guy you annoyingly stopped from scoring." That's rugby union at its finest.
That's grassroots stuff at its finest.
Yeah.
That's what that's about.
You could do some real damage to yourself in hospital with a bottle of porter, Phil.
You could, with a whole bottle in you.
Yeah. Could not ring his mates, say, "Oh, come and join me."
You could do a lot of damage to the hospital.
Well, on to a more negative, Shawnee. What is this week's bad week?
My bad week this week is actually you trying to bluff the referee, telling him that the ball was gone dead when it hadn't at all.
It definitely had. I mean,
it hasn't. I'll show you again. I watched it over. The ball hadn't gone dead, and you were just trying to carry on, like, "Oh, I know what I'm doing here," type thing, and then goal line dropout.
Yeah, fine.
So what have you to say for yourself?
I'm telling
you. It's a typical Sarri's thing, actually.
Okay, well, that's
bred
into
you.
It's bred into you.
So anyway, that's my bad week.
No, that's fair. I don't mind that. Okay, well, I wasn't trying to cheat. I thought it did, so there we are. But that is a very fair one to put on there. I like what you've done there.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like you to play a bit so I could actually find a bad week.
Well, you might see me this week.
Really? You said this for the last 3 weeks, isn't
it? No,
2 weeks. You said it for a little
two
while.
Weeks. 2 weeks.
Okay. And Shawnee, who's going to sin bin this week?
So this week, it is actually Joe Marler for creeping up behind Kyle Sinkner with a foghorn while they're in Jersey, which is quite funny, to be fair.
Well, that's all we've got time for. Find us on Joe YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've been listening to The House of Rugby on Joe.